What's up? What's up? Welcome to another episode of Bitches Love Sports. I'm your host, Jazz Monet. And I'm going live on Friday, as promised. Shout out to the people who are already watching, especially you, JV. Thank you so much for showing up as always. I know I can always count on you. Originally I thought I was gonna end up covering like the Australian Open tonight or maybe some of the stuff that was happening in the NBA. But then Mike McCarthy got rehired and did a press conference, and it just felt like the right thing to do to talk about what we heard in that press conference. I'm gonna be honest, on my first listen to this press conference, I was just like, okay, there's really nothing here. There's really nothing to talk about. But then I kind of realized like the fact that there's nothing to talk about kind of is something to talk about because it wasn't apparent, right? It was one of those things that, through listening and me listening for certain things, I realized that there was maybe nothing there in terms of people who are looking for optimism, hope, a sign of something being different. What's good, Willie? What's good, Eastside Herald? How are you? I'm basically gonna go through the interview or go through the press conference, and I'm gonna talk about what we heard. I'm gonna talk about what we should listen for and also what we should be careful of. Because honestly, with Mike McCarthy, if you've been watching him throughout the season, one of the things about him is he doesn't always like to just come out and say everything. There are certain things that he'll say blatantly, and then there are certain things that you kind of have to read in between the lines, hence the words in the thumbnail of this video. So I've got a version of the press conference that I clipped down. So basically, whenever you see it like fade to white and then out of it, that's a sign that I took something out of it. It was things that I didn't feel were relevant to the conversation. So it is a little bit shorter, but we are going to go through all of it. And I'm going to be honest with y'all. I'm relying heavily on my notes tonight because I wanted to make sure and not miss any of the relevant points for y'all. We're basically going to go through that press conference, and I'll be reading the comments. So if y'all have anything to add or chime in with, even if you're on Twitter, I think I am seeing the comments from Twitter now. But if you want to make sure that I see your comments, come over to YouTube, join us on YouTube, and that way I can make sure I can see you in the chat. And for those of you who are in the chat and already active in the chat, thank you for the engagement, even if it is y'all picking on each other. Y'all are so ridiculous. But yeah, feel free to chime in with any questions as we go. Jamie said you're still heated over the Aaron Jones post. You know what? I am too, but like there's two things about that post that I thought about. One, I don't know what our guys said. Our guys, I'm not gonna say they could have said something just as intense because I refuse to believe it, not with the way that they played, but it's like we don't know what they said. So like we didn't get to see their side of the behind the scenes or whatever. But two, if our guys were in that position, we would expect them to say the same thing. So I'm mad about it in the sense that it makes my team look bad. It makes some of my favorite players look bad. I don't like the fact that that hasn't been addressed by any of the players. I think I'm more upset about the players' response to it or lack of response than what Aaron Jones said. Because the thing is, some of those players took to Twitter after the loss and were all like, "We got time today." And I'm like, "Well, you shouldn't. Get your ass off this app. What you gonna talk shit to fans now? Now that you lost? Now that you got your ass kicked by the Packers? You want to come on here and talk shit to fans who got something to say about it? If you don't get the fuck out of here." But I didn't see anybody respond to Aaron Jones calling them front runners. And I'm just like, okay, so y'all got time for fans, y'all got time for the media, but your actual opponent, like somebody who's your peer, somebody who actually took the field with you, we're not gonna address that. Okay. That was disappointing. That was disappointing. Harold, go away. I don't even live in Dallas. I don't know anything about this after party, whatever. There's a lot to be upset about in terms of our team, but there's also a lot to think about in terms of Mike McCarthy. So let's dive into this press conference and we'll just break it down question by question. And I'll tell y'all what I got out of it and we can go from there. I kind of want to turn this down. There's an echo in my earbuds. Somebody got on me about adjusting shit while I'm laughing. They were like, "Stop putting your face in the camera." And I'm like, "Well, pay a producer for me." All right, let's go ahead and pull this up. Y'all are so sweet for joining me on a Friday night.
morning news. Had a question.
Let me pause this and fix this picture real quick. Okay, so I'm starting from the very beginning. Let me know if y'all can't hear it or if the volume isn't loud enough.
Quick follow-up for you. How would you characterize your meeting with Jerry yesterday? Was it talking a lot about you in a fifth season? Was that a brief part of it? It was like, hey, what are you looking for? What do we need to do here?
It was a long meeting. I think we went probably a little bit past 3 hours. We talked about a number of topics. I mean, the first topic was obviously the disappointment of the ending of the season. You know, went through all the layers of that. Then we talked about, you know, pretty much everything in the football program.
So it was more looking forward and just where what happened and then what initially.
Yeah, I think it. You know, we went the whole course. You know, went back through, you know, things that we felt, you know, may have factored, and like I said, the disappointment component had a lot of layers to it. So we went through all those layers. And then we, you know, talked about personnel and coaches and everything involved. So business affairs. And so, like I said, it was a long, productive conversation.
Okay, so I'm gonna pause right there real quick because in the beginning, the first thing that they asked him about was his meeting with Jerry Jones. And honestly, there, like I said, in the very beginning, there wasn't a lot to that response in terms of what he and Jerry Jones talked about. Part of the reason why I left that part in this clip, in this edited version of his press conference, was because he's going to be asked later about his conversation with Jerry Jones. And I want us to think about what he brought up here. So what he said was it was a long meeting that lasted longer than 3 hours. He said that they discussed the disappointment in the way the season ended and that there were, quote unquote, layers to that. I really wish somebody would have asked him what those layers were, because I'm curious, because later when they start asking him about some of the things that you would expect him to discuss with Jerry Jones, he either didn't have an answer or the way he answered the question suggested that they really didn't discuss those things. So I'm like, okay, if you're not discussing the things that are important to fans and important to people who have questions about the future of this team, of this franchise, then what exactly did you talk about? Like, what exactly were these layers? What were you talking about for over 3 hours? But what he mentioned was disappointment in the end of the season. He said that they discussed everything in the football program. He said, we went the whole course, whatever that means. And that the disappointment that they discussed had a lot of layers. In my opinion, that's a vague answer. I wasn't in the room, so the media that was there, they accepted it. It is what it is. But what you heard in that response is very representative of the press conference as a whole. So if you're a fan who's looking for like insight into what happened on Sunday, if you're looking for answers about what's going to be different, if you're looking for something to inspire confidence or give you hope, you might not get that from this press conference. I'm gonna just put that out there up front. And I do think that there are reasons for that. So he talks a little bit about it later, but you know, I kind of had to put myself in the shoes of someone like Mike McCarthy. And I think sometimes as fans, when we think about what happened, we're like, you know, as a coach, you owe us answers. Like you should already know what happened. You should be able to tell us something to make us continue to be fans of the team and fans of yours, right? But if we take it at face value that he was just as shocked, just as hurt as everybody else by what happened and that he didn't see that coming, you could see why he might still be in a place where it's like, okay, I'm still evaluating what happened. I'm still talking to people. I'm still looking at film. We have a lot to figure out in terms of giving you answers and letting you know what we're going to do differently in the future. I'd rather have a thorough answer than a half-baked answer that's like mostly a lie. So, I mean, I guess it depends on what side of the fence you fall on there in terms of what you want to hear. But just keep in mind what he said in that answer. All right, we're going to keep going.
Mike, Todd Archer with ESPN. What needs to change with this team, organization, staff to get past?
I mean, Todd, it's still raw right now. I'm still a little bit numb. It doesn't matter what year you're in, the level of success you have. My experience and really my approach has always been, you know, you're going to have changes. You're going to have adjustments, and you're going to have emphasis. And, you know, starting with the emphasis, there's a lot of things that were accomplished So we want to make sure we can try to build off of those. We're always going to adjust, whether it's, you know, staff responsibilities, players responsibility scheme, all those things. And, you know, and then in changes is really part of that adjustment, you know, how big of a change you need to make. So, you know, we're just getting started.
What's the biggest?
So in between those two questions, people asked about like his extension, and, you know, he said that he's comfortable with who he is as a person. If you heard that section of the interview in the past, I think what he was basically saying was that like he didn't really feel a way about not being extended, that he is confident in his career and who he is as a man to where it didn't really concern him either way. He went into this meeting with Jerry Jones basically prepared for whatever was going to happen. That's what was suggested. But then Todd Archer asked him outright, like, hey, what are you going to have to change about this team in order to get better results? And he first pointed out that a lot of things were accomplished during the regular season, which he's not wrong about that. But then he said, you know, we're just getting started in evaluating everything that happened. We're just now starting to review. And he said, when he was asked about his biggest regret, he said that he's still working through the coaches' evaluations. So he still needs, like, basically everything that we want answers for, he's still working through. And actually, let me keep going, because I think right after this section that I'm on is where he talks about what his biggest disappointment is.
Biggest regret from what happened on Sunday?
Biggest regret? Well, not winning the game. But yeah, the coaches have done their evaluations, and, you know, I got those last night. So I'm still working through it, and I've had some conversations. I'm going to a meeting from here. But yeah, I think the disappointment is just not playing to your standard of play. And I mean, you go through the whole regular season, you establish a standard of play, a standard of productivity, you know, approach, and all those things. And, you know, one team played to their standard, and the other didn't. And unfortunately, we didn't. So, I'm very disappointed that in our performance. And just not playing to our standard. And the hard part.
Well, yeah, we all are. I feel like if you ask any of us what's the biggest disappointment, that would be the case. It's like we all were watching this team throughout the regular season, and we all got to the point where we were like, yo, this team could actually go far. They look different than last year. The feel is different than last year. The way the postseason was set up with, you know, the Cowboys having home field advantage, it just felt like things were set up different. So the idea that his biggest disappointment is not playing to their standard, there's really no shock there. But it is one of those things that makes me wish he could do this interview a little bit later, because like I said, all the questions that they're asking are things that, you know, it's so easy for him to be like, well, we're still evaluating this. We're still looking at that, because, I mean, let's be real. It's been less than a week, right? And this particular press conference happened the day after, I believe, it was announced that he was even keeping the job. So with a whole team of media looking for answers, he not only doesn't have the answers, but he's in a perfect position to be justified in not having the answers. But what I'll say is that even though it hasn't been that long, I would expect him to have a few answers that are better than this. So while it is reasonable that he wouldn't have all the answers, I kind of hope that he would have something to say, to give us something besides what the typical fan would say. Because I feel like we're all disappointed by that. And I feel like there's nothing surprising about that. But in terms of like, okay, if it's your biggest disappointment that we didn't play to our standard, or that the Cowboys didn't play to their standard, is there something specific about that? Is there something that you can point to that you didn't do well, or that the players didn't do well? Just something that the average fan doesn't already know. JV says, come up on the screen. What made him believe that the game plan that he and DQ agreed upon was a successful game plan to put forth? That's a really good question. I'd like to know that myself. Earlier today, I was in someone else's chat. I was watching someone else live. I think it was when I was watching Skywalker Still. And I said, the same way that teams show up different to play the Cowboys, and it's like they put completely different things on the field than what you normally see from film of those teams before they play the Cowboys, it almost felt... And it's felt like this at different points during the season. It feels sometimes like the Cowboys try to do the same thing, but that it goes terribly wrong when the Cowboys try to do it. So I don't know if they thought switching things up a little bit would throw the Packers off and maybe they could get a leg up that way. Because when it comes to the Shanahan tree, I can see those particular coaches making Mike McCarthy nervous and making Dan Quinn nervous. They usually don't do well against those coaches. And so right now I'm just speculating. This is all speculation. I haven't heard anything that suggests this or anything. But that's the only thing that I can think of to make that make sense. But he didn't really give us anything to answer those questions. So that's all I can do is speculate. And I'm frozen again. And there we go. But that's all I can do is speculate. And Brother L says, hey, Brother L. Long time no see. I'd like to know why only the offense and a select few on defense were/are the only ones answering for all, quote unquote, these crimes. Well, Brother L, is because it's the end of the season and obligations to the media are no longer a thing. But I'm with you in the sense that you would hope that for at least some of the stars, them answering to the media is more than just an obligation, and that they would feel like it's part of their duty, feel like it's part of their role as leaders, as representatives of the team to say something. Especially with, like we discussed earlier, the sound bites coming out about what Aaron Jones said about the team. You know, when you hear somebody from the opposition say something like that about your team and you see fans chiming in by the hundreds of thousands in agreement, you would think somebody would want to say something. And they haven't. And yes, I'm with you. It is disappointing. But right now, what we have is this press conference from Mike McCarthy. So we're going to keep going because I really like this next section. And by really like, I mean, there's more to it than what we've heard so far. But this next section where Joe Trahan starts to ask him a couple of questions, there's a little bit more there than what we've gotten so far in the press conference.
About coming in here right now is, you know, there's a tremendous amount of emotion, you know, in all of us right now. And, you know, you have to get the emotion.
And actually, I'm going to go back a few seconds because I cut off part of what he said. So Joe Trahan asked about him adjusting his evaluation process because of the magnitude of this loss. He's like, are you evaluating this any differently? And Mike McCarthy basically said no, and he talked about some of the details of his usual evaluation process. But the part that I came in on is where he starts talking about the amount of emotion that's coming into play right now.
Productivity, you know, approach and all those things. And, you know, one team played to their standard and the other didn't. And unfortunately, we didn't. So I'm very disappointed that in our performance and just not playing to our standard. And the hard part about coming in here right now is, you know, there's a tremendous amount of emotion, you know, in all of us right now. And, you know, you have to get the emotion out of that to have clarity in your substance of how you're going to move forward. You got to learn from it, and then how you're going to grow. So then you got to swing back around. Now you got to educate again. Then you got to apply it. And that's, you know, that's a process. So the evaluation process that we'll go through is, I mean, I guess you would say it's tweaked because you're applying it to different people. I mean, it's never the same, I guess, to answer your question.
And then just a quick follow-up.
So in my opinion, no, that doesn't answer the question. Because when someone's asking you like, hey, are you going to adjust your evaluation process because of the magnitude of this loss? And you start by saying, well, no, I'm not going to. Well, actually, there's so much emotion involved in this loss, I'm going to have to. But then you don't really tell us what that means. And for me, this was one of the most frustrating points in the press conference because he got so close to telling us what we wanted to know. Because up until this point, he's kind of made it seem like everything is status quo. He always has meetings with Jerry Jones. He always gets evaluations from his coaches. He always does the exit interviews with his players. He hasn't really given us any detail in terms of his insight into what happened. But he acknowledges that there's a lot of emotion right now. In other words, he's acknowledging that this is something that he didn't expect to happen. It's something that's weighing on him a little bit. Otherwise, where's that emotion coming from? And it's like, okay, well, if you're feeling emotional about this, Mike McCarthy, then tell us why. What was it about this loss that surprised you? We know what surprised us. You can turn on any morning show, any Cowboys content creator, look on Twitter and see what we're surprised about, but we need to hear from you. You just got rehired. Well, I shouldn't say rehired. You weren't fired. There was speculation that you'd be fired as the head coach. That's how bad this loss was. We went from one of the best regular seasons in Dallas Cowboys history to, oh, we might have to fire this dude because of how bad this one loss was in the postseason. That's what happened. And you were right there on the sideline, and clearly you're experiencing emotion. You just admitted it, but you're not going to tell us anything about what for you is leading to that level of emotion. That's the disappointing thing. Like, you know, people are doubting you. You know, people are doubting the team. You know, people are questioning whether you should even keep your job. But you go in front of all these mics and cameras and give us basically nothing. So at this point, what we know is that there is emotion there. We know that there was a reaction from him. We know that there was something significant about this loss to him, but we still don't necessarily know what, except that, you know, his general statement that the team didn't play up to their standard, which is something any of us can see. So it's not unlike Mike McCarthy to kind of keep things under wraps. In everything from, you know, what happens during team meetings to certain things that happen during practice, he's actually tried really hard to keep things under wraps when it comes to what's going on with the team. So that's not surprising. But I also think that in a situation like this, where you yourself are acknowledging the weight of the emotion of the situation, you got to know that fans are experiencing the same thing. And I just feel like as head coach, you could have given fans something to go on in this situation. JV says, the one scenario that everyone didn't think would happen, but if it did, you would be fired, actually happened. Facts, facts. And Truth Only says he's shell-shocked. Yeah, he probably is. A lot of us are. But the thing is, in his position, he's got a different responsibility to respond to that. So, all right, to continue. Let's see what section is next.
Will you go back to the Bills game, to the 49ers game, to try and find common denominators that kind of, you know, performance from your team as you move forward to the franchise?
No, absolutely. And that's, you know, and that's the insight that, you know, you're always is always part of your evaluation. No, absolutely. The negatives in those games are definitely at the forefront of, you know, what we got to be better at.
John Michaud of The Athletic. Mike, obviously the fan base is.
All right, we're going to continue John Machota's question in a second. But he was asked about going back to some of the losses during the regular season, like the losses to the 49ers and to the Bills, to evaluate what went on. And he's like, oh, well, yeah, we definitely will have to, because, you know, we need to look at all of that in order to figure out what needs to change. And while I'm glad that he's acknowledging that he needs to go back there, honestly, we've already seen his response to those. So after the 49ers game, if we go back to the loss to the Cardinals, that was when things first started to change, because that was when his entire scheme came into the question. Before the loss to the Cardinals, people were like, okay, the Cowboys are winning games, they're scoring lots of points, but this offense doesn't really look like how we like what we expected it to look like, right? Then they go up against the Cardinals, and it's like, okay, all of our worst fears about the scheme for this team came true. We need to see some changes. Things were up and down over the next few weeks, not in terms of wins and losses, but in terms of public perception, right? Then you get to the 49ers game. They lost that game, but then they won the game going into the bye week, and it was after the bye week that we actually saw a lot of the change. So after that bye week, that was actually when people started calling into question his use of star players. And then after that, we started seeing CD used a lot more. And then, in my opinion, they actually went above and beyond what a lot of people expected, because that was around the time that people really started buying into this whole idea of trimesters that him and the coordinators had been, you know, talking about since preseason, right? And so we not only saw a change in scheme, we not only saw him use his star players a little bit better, but we also started seeing things like more pre-snap motion. We started seeing Dak Prescott use his feet more. We basically saw a transformation in what the offense looks like, and it was a really good transformation. And then after that, there were still issues in a couple of areas, though. There were issues in terms of, well, I shouldn't say issues. There were a few questions. People were still questioning the team's ability to have a really good and consistent run game. Also, their ability to stop the run. So we saw a lot of improvements, but still a lot of questions. Anyway, I say all that to say, we've kind of seen what his response is to those things. So he's had time to evaluate those and to take whatever he needed to take from those into the postseason. So I'm like, if he needs to go back over it again, fine. But even the knowledge that he's going to do that doesn't necessarily inspire confidence for me. Brother L says, Yeah, you can hear the tremble and discomfort in his voice. He's in coach speak autopilot from most of the presser. 100%, I agree. He's not really there. Also, he currently doesn't have the answers about the staff and roster. I agree. And that's kind of why I said what I said about, like, I wish he could do a press conference like this a little bit later. I get that the season just ended and people want answers, and it would be great if he had them right now, but it just doesn't sound like he does. And so while I'm being critical, and I'll acknowledge that I am being very critical, it is with a little bit of a grain of salt, in the sense that one thing that we know about Mike McCarthy is that he kind of takes his time, especially when it comes to things like this. So I'm going to be honest with you. When he does finally have answers to some of the questions he was asked during this press conference, we might not even hear it. Somebody actually hit me up and they were like, oh, it's going to be a crazy offseason for us. And they were talking about content creators. And I was kind of like, no, it's not. It's going to be very quiet. It's going to be up to the most creative people among us to create content, because I really feel like they're going to lock things down even more, honestly. Like, people are talking a lot right now. And obviously, there's going to be some coaching shakeups. Later in this press conference, he admits that conversations with his assistants are going to happen next week. So that is the earliest we can start to expect to hear anything related to what's going to happen to coordinators and coaches, right? And it might even be later than that, depending on who might be looking for opportunities with other teams and franchises, right? But I think whenever it comes to him having answers right now, like, you know, he just doesn't have them, you know, and it's going to take some time. And by the time he does have them, after all those conversations happen, I don't think he's going to feel any sense of urgency to let us know. So I think we'll hear about this. We'll hear about whatever coaching shakeups, who gets hired and fired. And then I think it's going to be dead quiet until the draft. JV says, Jazz, you earned the right to be critical. He was absolutely awful in every way possible this Sunday. I agree. I do think there's room to be critical of him in that sense. But in terms of his responses during this press conference, I am going to be critical, but I also want to be fair in the sense that he might need a little bit of time to give good answers. Like I said earlier, I'd rather him be honest about the fact that, you know, he doesn't have all the answers than lie to us. And there aren't too many situations where I do think he lied, but we'll keep going and see how we feel about that later.
Really frustrated. What is your message to them about, you know, moving forward, why this team can eventually have that playoff success?
Well, I mean, you know, we have an unbelievable fan base, and they should be frustrated.
Yes, we should be frustrated.
Disappointed. Disappointed for them, disappointed in our performance. But my message would be this: we have established a championship program. It's just not the world championship yet. We know how to win, we know how to train to win. We have the right people, but we have not crossed the threshold of winning playoff games. And
so that part of his answer frustrated the shit out of me. I'm not even gonna lie, because I think I understand what he was trying to say, but I really wish that he had used different words there. Because to say that we have a championship program, but we just haven't won a world championship yet, you haven't even made it to the NFC championship game, you know? So I understand that you want to convey the idea that you feel like the team is improving and they've done really well in the regular season. But honestly, first of all, I'm kind of at the point where, like, fuck 12-5. We just got beat by, what, a 9-7 team? Is that what their record was? That's advancing in the playoffs? And the Cowboys, a 12-5 team or not? So, I mean, at this point, it's like, I think when it was 2 12-5 seasons in a row, it was like, okay, this is a sign that the team is advancing. But then you see that again, and then you see this stark decline in their performance in the postseason. And not only is it a decline in terms of their performance compared to what it was in the regular season, but it's also like their worst postseason performance since we've seen Mike McCarthy come here. And it also just feels like a decline overall. It almost cancels out everything about the regular season success that gave us hope was canceled out in the performance that we saw against the Packers on Sunday. So for him to say, oh, well, we have a championship program, I'm like, okay, based on what? And I know he feels like he technically answered that question. He's like, I know how to win. And I'm like, okay, you know how to win in certain situations, but I feel like in order to say that you have a championship program, you need to at least be able to beat championship caliber teams consistently. We should at least be able to say we see you perform at an elite level consistently. But I mean, all throughout the season, there were questions. There were questions about, like, can the Cowboys win on the road? Can the Cowboys beat a good team? Can the Cowboys beat a good team on the road? And I feel like you need to be able to answer those questions more than once in order to say, yes, we have a championship level program. So while he feels like he knows, while he feels like he knows how to win, and I feel like, yes, he has made some improvements to the team, I just don't feel like that's a sufficient answer to say, well, this is why this is a championship caliber program, despite the fact that we don't have a championship to show for it. JV said, first beat winning teams regularly in the regular season. Exactly. That's exactly what I'm saying. I'm like, if you're going to say something like that, I need you to back it up with something better than, well, I know how to win. It's like, well, you haven't really proven that to us either. And I'm not really trying to talk down on Mike McCarthy because, like, he's the head coach of the Cowboys. So and so I want to see him succeed because that means the Cowboys are succeeding. But at the same time, I'm just like, it's kind of like what I said about, you know, Dak and some of my favorite players the other day when I was like, you know, I still support them, but I can't really defend them right now. That's one of those phrases that I also cannot defend. I will still support Mike McCarthy as a head coach of my favorite team, but I can't defend statements like that, you know? So when people are going on morning shows and, you know, ripping him apart for even uttering that phrase, I don't really have anything to come back with because I'm kind of with them. I'm just like, yo, you need to have some support for a statement like that. Truth only says he failed us. The game plan and the intensity is not there. I think they weren't taking the Packers seriously. That's very possible. I'm tired of the team looking shocked. Me too. All right, let's keep going.
And it's extremely disappointing to be sitting here talking about it. But, you know, I know how to win. And we will get over that threshold. I have total confidence in it. And that's why I'm standing here today.
Edward, ESPN. Mike, to what extent in your meeting with Jerry did you have to make a case or an argument for him to continue forward with you versus him recognizing the value after your four?
So this is a question that I was talking about earlier when I was like, listen to what he mentions in the beginning of the press conference about what he said he discussed with Jerry Jones. And when I said there was a related question later, this is the related question. Because earlier, you know, they asked him what he talked about and he listed a few things. And now he's being asked, okay, during this conversation with Jerry Jones, how much of it was spent basically defending yourself? How much did you have to defend yourself to Jerry Jones in order to keep this job is what this question was in a nutshell. And this is what he says.
4 years of partnership.
I wouldn't view the conversation that way. I think clearly, you know, it started off with the, you know, peeling back the layers of what went wrong and the disappointment. And then, frankly, it got to where Jerry and I were one-on-one. And frankly, you know, the best meetings I have is with Jerry's one-on-one. I can't.
This was the point at which I was like, he must not have had to defend himself. Because think about it. If you have a long conversation with someone, maybe it's someone you're in a relationship with, a longtime friend, a family member, and somebody's like, man, you talked to that person for over 3 hours. How much time did you spend apologizing? If you apologized, you would know right off, like, oh man, apologizing is the first thing I did. Or you'd be able to say, like, well, I went into this conversation just looking for clarity and understanding, but, like, yeah, I did end up having to apologize. If you actually apologized, you wouldn't be sitting there stuttering, like trying to think of the conversation like, did I, you know, well, actually, you know, I just love talking with this person one-on-one. No, if somebody asked you if you apologized, you'd be able to say yes or no if you did. So the way he answered this question to me said he didn't have to defend himself. And to me, that is worrisome because last season when Mike McCarthy was on the hot seat, I got it. Like, one, it was, you know, a lot of people were blaming Kellen Moore anyway. They wanted to give Mike McCarthy a chance to call plays the way he called plays. And then also, last season compared to this season, you know, there's just way different, quote-unquote, free agents when it comes to coaches. I would have liked some indication that there was some consideration of other options. But judging from Mike McCarthy's answer, it just doesn't sound like, And Brother L, I was actually about to use that exact word, accountable. It doesn't sound like they were the conversation actually held him accountable for what happened. It really sounds like they just went in there to talk about what happened, and it was almost a given that he was going to have to keep his job, because it doesn't sound like he was actually expected to defend himself. And keep listening, and you'll hear the part that like really made my antennas perk up.
They're super productive. I mean, he's an awesome boss, but he's even a better leader, because I mean, he asks all the hard direct questions, which I love and appreciate, because you get to a depth in. You get into conversations that go in different directions, but there's always so much that comes out of it. So, and I'm just trying to go back through the conversation to answer your question. So
that was the part that made my antennas go up. He said, "I'm just trying to go back through the conversation to make sure I answer your question." Since when does Mike McCarthy try to give details about his one-on-one conversations with anybody? No, he was stuttering through the answers. He knew he was stumbling through the answer, and then he tried to give us an excuse for why he was stumbling through the answer. Mike McCarthy, we know you do not give a fuck about telling us the details about a conversation between you and Jerry Jones. You have never wanted to give us the details about conversations between you and Jerry Jones, you and Dan Quinn, you and Dak Prescott, anybody. As a matter of fact, he's asked a question about Dak Prescott later in this press conference, and it was literally one of the shortest answers that he gave throughout the entire conversation with the media. So for him to be like, "Oh, well, it was a really in-depth conversation, and we talked about the disappointment and Jerry Jones, I love our one-on-one conversations, and he's such a great leader, and you know, I'm just trying to make sure I answer your question." Bullshit, especially these types of questions Mike McCarthy has never wanted to answer in detail. So as soon as he was like, "Yeah, I'm just trying to go back through the conversation and make sure I answer the question," I'm like, lies. Lies. But anyway, let's keep going.
Yeah, so I mean, we talked about everything, you know, the right, the wrong, the indifferent, with, you know, what we need to build off of, you know. And so, yeah, I don't know if there's much we didn't talk about as far as topics, you know, that apply to the football operation. So, yeah. So
he said, "I don't know if there's much we didn't talk about." It sounds like you didn't talk about having to defend yourself and being held accountable in order to keep this job.
So it's a conversation, hard conversation, you know, definitely throughout a number of points there. But it was. They're conversations that I personally always look forward to, because I've never walked out of a one-on-one with Jerry where I didn't think I was better, you know, one way or the other.
I really want to know what Jerry Jones told him during this hard conversation where it sounds like he was not held accountable for what happened on Sunday that actually made him better. I'm so curious.
Regarding Dan Quinn, if he doesn't get a head coaching job somewhere else, is the assumption that you bring him back here?
Dan's a highly valued, you know, member of our coaching staff. So, but you know, we'll go through the process here.
Dan.
I will say with that answer about Dan Quinn, it really sounds like he does not really care if Dan Quinn comes back or not, I'm gonna be honest. He's like, "Oh yeah, Dan Quinn's a valued member of the team. We'll see what happens," is basically what he said. Brother L said, "The same player keeps having to take all the bullets, arrows, and disrespect for an entire fan base, Dak. This is facts. Everyone else is just cool with Ford being the pinata. It's weird, man. The culture sucks." I'm definitely not cool with it. And I get it. Like, Dak didn't play the best either on Sunday, but he shouldn't be held accountable by himself. He definitely shouldn't be considered the sole person on offense to be held accountable. And even though I do think, you know, and I said this in my live, I said, you know, had some of his performance been better, the offense would have looked better. That wasn't to say that the offense looking bad was his fault. It was basically to acknowledge, like, yes, Dak Prescott's performance is playing a role in how we view Mike McCarthy and how we view the offense and how we view the team. But I talked about Mike McCarthy and Dak Prescott together because I do feel like they both play a role. And I feel like this press conference was really an opportunity for Mike McCarthy to acknowledge what he did and didn't do. And the questions are out there. People have asked questions about the culture of the team, whether or not the team is tough enough. They ask questions about preparedness. They ask questions about the game plan. So he just really, didn't give fans anything to go on. I felt like this was an opportunity for him to take some of the heat off Dak. And I do believe that there's room for him to do that. And he simply chose not to.
I ask this question as respectfully as possible, Coach, but I've heard you talk about why fans should buy back into this team. Why should they buy back into you? And then as a second part of that, I think talking to players, it was clear they wanted you back. But what was some of their feedback for you moving forward?
Their feedback for me? I'm not sure what you're asking.
The way he responded to her annoyed me because he spent the first part of this press conference talking about how he had done exit interviews with the players. And there was one section that I did skip, but he went in detail about how the people, the players who had been there the longest, the veterans, he called them, had the most feedback and they were the most honest and they gave him the most to go on. And the players who had been there for, you know, about 3 years also told him things like, you know, what they needed from him and vice versa and things like that. Then somebody in the media says, okay, well, what was their feedback for you? And he's like, well, what was their feedback for me? Well, yeah, you said earlier that you had conversations that were so valuable with these players. So what was their feedback? And not only did he act like she was speaking a foreign language, but he basically proceeds to kind of not answer the question, in my opinion.
Back in those evaluations.
Well, I mean, the feedback's on every topic, every category that I talked about. So I think it's the confirmation of you know how we operate here. I mean, there's training, there's expectation, there's you know the development physically, the development mentally, and the development emotionally. In the emotional realm, you're always chasing, you know, because of the different you know maturity levels and different backgrounds that come into your culture each and every year.
What's also really interesting about this response is that earlier this week, Jane Slater actually reported via Twitter that she had talked to some of the players and that a lot of the players were wanting Mike McCarthy to come back. This was before it was announced that he was keeping the job. And she was like, yeah, these are a lot of the reasons that players want him back. Boom, boom, boom. And then in the last part of that thread, one of the things that she mentioned was that some of the players had issues with not believing in the scheme anymore. And they were concerned about what they said was their perception that Dak Prescott panicked when his first read wasn't there. So she's already gotten specifics from players in terms of what their questions are and what their doubts are in terms of the performance of the team. And you expect us to believe that you went into these meetings with the players and it was all general about, you know, emotional development and just general training. Like, no, there was clearly more to these conversations that Mike McCarthy just doesn't want to share. So it's whatever.
That's definitely the arena that's the most challenging and definitely is something that, you know, we'll continue to focus on and definitely need to learn from this past experience.
And why should fans buy back in? Was the head coach of this team?
Yeah, because I believe that the direction, you know, the leadership, everything is in place. And I'm not very comfortable talking about myself, but I came here to win a championship. I didn't come here to get another contract or anything other than that. I came to Dallas to win the world championship, and that's why I'm standing here and buy into us.
That was a terrible answer. I understand that he might not have all the answers to all the questions right now, but like I said earlier, everybody is aware of the fact that there are questions about this team and questions about this team's leadership, both in terms of player leadership and in terms of the coaches and coordinators that are guiding the direction of the team in terms of on-field performance and locker room culture, if we're being honest. And she said, why should fans buy into you? And he says, well, because I want to win a championship. Well, presumably so would any coach who rolled up in here. That's not a reason to buy into a coach. That's not a reason to feel like there shouldn't be a change made. Honestly, we've seen other teams make changes at their head coaching position or at their coordinator positions and see success. So I do understand the people who said like, well, you know, we want continuity. We want to give him a chance. We might not want to bring somebody in here who's going to change everything up, yada, yada, yada. I can understand that there is some basis for that, but we've also seen examples where the opposite happens. We've seen interim coaches have success. We've seen new coaches, new coordinators have success. Honestly, there's no evidence either way. But what we have seen from Mike McCarthy is evidence that regardless of how the team performs during the regular season, they're going to show up in the postseason and phone it in at some point very early in comparison to what a lot of people predict. I'm pretty sure just about everybody I've seen in the comments watches Skywalker Still in the mornings, but he did an excellent breakdown of how what we've seen from Mike McCarthy with the Cowboys during these last three playoff runs is the same thing. Well, it's very similar to what we saw in from Mike McCarthy when he was with the Green Bay Packers for their last three postseasons. So we're talking about a pattern here. And whenever we see a pattern that doesn't align with what we want and you're like, well, I want a championship. Well, you've always wanted a championship. You've wanted a championship since you got to Dallas. You wanted a championship when you were in Green Bay. Yet we continue to see this pattern where your teams fall short, where they don't perform, where you have these quarterbacks that seem to be great and very capable, yet for some reason they show up in the postseason and seem unprepared and like they aren't sure how to perform, like the players aren't on the same page, especially the star players. So to answer the question of why fans should buy into you, we need something better. And so it's like, if you don't have the answers right now, by all means, do what you can. But like, don't be surprised when we're going into the draft, going into training camp, and people are still calling for your job or not believing in you, not believing in the team, and just expressing a lot of doubt and still have a lot of negative judgment and criticism because we've been giving nothing to fill otherwise. Brother L said, filibustering is the word that comes to mind. Same.
Part of that growth opportunity here, too, as the play caller and the quarterback, I know you all been around each other for 4 years, but it's kind of the beginning of that relationship. Is there growth there that you see?
Well, it'll definitely be more growth because now that we've gone through it and you can't get to this spot without going through it is, you know, the situations that we are able to go through and now apply it to the training, you know, and that's just how my brain works, you know, because as the conversations you have, not only with Dak and particularly the veterans, there's a number of things that come out of it. And you're like, okay, how do I tweak the training component to maybe move the needle, you know, a different direction in that area you're focused on. So, but yeah, you know, that's really what those conversations are about. And then obviously, you know, his conversation is a big part of that because not only what he means to the team, but, you know, playing quarterback.
Here's the other thing that frustrates me about his answers during this press conference. At this point, you've been with the Dallas Cowboys and dealt with these specific media members long enough to know what's coming. So going back to Brother L, your use of the word filibustering, I feel like even for a filibuster, you're prepared with something to say, even if it's bullshit. And I felt like somehow, after years of dealing with this same group of media members, somehow he walked into this conversation and wasn't even prepared with even a little bit of an answer, with even a little bit of a response to inspire a little bit of confidence and a little bit of hope and a little bit of faith. That was really frustrating. And in that answer about, you know, that was the second part of his that was the second part of an answer to a question that particular media member asked about his conversation with Dak Prescott. And, you know, he talked about training and having to adjust the training based on what they've learned in the postseason and during the regular season, right? And when he gave that answer, it made me realize during this press conference, he talked a lot about training, but he didn't talk as much about scheme or about culture. And honestly, what I've heard from the media and what I've heard from a lot of fans, those are actually where the biggest questions are. Like, people have questions about the scheme, you know, like this whole West Coast offense, Texas Coast thing that you were trying to do. Did that go how you expected? And later on, or he might have already done it, but he answers a question about the run game and admits that they didn't run the ball as well as he would have liked and that they didn't stop the run as well as he would have liked. And so to me, that begs the question is like, okay, was that because of a failure of your scheme or was that because of a failure of the implementation of your scheme? Because if it was an implementation, I can see you talking about training so much. But if it was a scheme itself, then, okay, are you planning to come with something different? And what about the culture? Because that's something that a lot of people are really questioning right now. Even for people who don't watch film, for people who, you know, can't break down what was, I cannot talk today, y'all. For people who can't break down what exactly was happening on the field, One thing that a reoccurring theme that you see a lot is this idea that the team just didn't look tough. They didn't look prepared. They came out flat. They didn't look like there was any fire, right? That's a cultural issue. To me, that says something about how you prepared them mentally and emotionally for this game. So like even speaking to that, I feel like would have given fans something to go on.
Mike McGelkin, Dallas Morning News. How do you evaluate the way that your offense was able to run the football this season, and then on the other side of the ball, stopping the run? And
this is where he talks about running the ball.
The run game on both sides.
I think just big picture wise, you know, over the course of the year, we were below the line. I think we need to be better in both areas. And I think it's something that, you know, that would go right off of what we were talking about in the last question. You know, those are the things, the training and how you do it and how
mentioning training again
there. But yeah, I'm not, you know, we're not where we need to be in both those areas.
Garrett.
So he's asked about running the ball and stopping the run, and he mentions training and says that they're not where they need to be in those areas. And I'm just like, how the hell you go a whole off season, preseason, regular season, and you don't know how to run the ball or stop the run? I feel like those are basics. I'm not the biggest expert, but I'm just like, I don't know. I'm really tired of breaking down how every answer during this press conference is bullshit. But I'm just like, how do you even stand up there and give an answer like that and still respect yourself as a coach? Like, for somebody to ask a question like that, and you're like, oh, yeah, it comes down to training. Well, you've been training them all season, all year. What the hell? Why can you not train your team to run the ball and stop the run? How do you even feel comfortable as a head coach of one of the biggest sports franchises in the world and somebody asks you about two of the fundamentals on each side of the ball and you're like, oh, well, it comes down to training. You're the head coach. Really? You just indicted yourself.
Garrett Podell, CBS Sports. Mike, you said you went through an evaluation process. What, if anything, connects sort of the three postseason losses the last 3 years? Do you view them as individual incidents?
Yes. Didn't sit down and go back through each one of those together, but the fact of the matter is, you know, we did not play well enough in the three.
Mike.
Mike Fisher, Sports Illustrated Arena. How much trepidation, following up on that, did you walk into the Jerry meeting with, wondering about what the outcome might be regarding your job security?
You know, to be honest with you, I didn't really go there. I met with the staff, and I just, you know, I told them, really what was, you know, was about to happen, you know, just as far as, you know, the evaluation. And
so he was asked how much trepidation did he go into the meeting with Jerry Jones with, and his first reaction seems to be like, oh, well, you know, I just saw the staff. Doesn't sound like he went in there with any. Y'all, I'm telling you, somehow, even after the atrociousness, if that's a word, of that loss, he was not worried about his job. With everybody talking about, like, should Mike McCarthy be gone? Who should they hire? Whole ass segments on very popular shows dedicated to who the Cowboys should hire instead. Somehow, this man was not concerned about his job, y'all. I'm telling you.
And frankly, it was a bit of a sprint just to get everything together, you know, coming out of the exit interviews and everything, get that to go in there. But no, I was, like I said, I was just in the moment, frankly. I wasn't, I'll be honest. The only thing I worry about is my family. I'm very, extremely confident in who I am. I can't say that enough. And I'm confident in what we've done here. And I have great confidence in where we're going. And that's really, was how the it's how the meeting ended. So,
is there a threat? Can I finish?
And not only where we're going, but we got work to do. You know, the job's not finished yet, and we both know that.
As you do that work, is there a thread that connects the three seasons of not being able to get over the hump?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of people that are here. You know, that are part of those three experiences. So, I'm just trying to go through the three games. I think there's a number of things. There's too many things that are different, you know. So, and the reality of it is, you know, in the game of football, it's going to be different next year too. So to sit here, and I'm going to tell you this too, I will take no responsibility, and I tell our players this too, and they have no responsibility on what's going on here the 20 plus years before that. You know, we're responsible for what's going on in our program. And I know it's disappointing to the fans. But, you know, we are in position to learn and grow from this and build off it. And And that's the best answer, in my opinion.
I was really annoyed by that answer because he was asked about the last three seasons. And he was like, you know, what needs to happen differently in order for you to get over the hump? And he's like, well, you know, we're not going to be held responsible for, you know, what happened over the last, you know, 27, 30 years or however he phrased it. And I'm like, but that's not what they asked you about. They literally asked you about the time period since you've been here. And it just kind of felt like a cop out for him to go back to the whole 20. We're not going to be responsible. Ain't nobody asking you about that, Mike. We're literally asking about you and your tenure. I feel like I've gotten progressively more antagonistic towards Mike McCarthy as this press conference has gone on. And I'm sorry, because like I said, I do want to see him experience success. But like some of these answers, like let me be specific about that. It's some of these answers that frustrate the shit out of me. I do think ultimately Mike will figure something out. That is something that he has proven over time, is that he, you know, he's fired his best friend. He's made sweeping changes through the coaching staff. And this is a situation where I hope he fires himself. Him getting his head coaching job back doesn't mean he has to be the one to call plays. And I hope he gives that some real thought, because one thing that I can say is it just seems to me that he's not really the best at thinking on his feet and making adjustments. Like, he can make really great adjustments during the time between games, right? But when it comes to in-game adjustments and making those things happen on the fly, you know, having more than one adjustment, especially in the second half, he just doesn't seem to be the best at that. Maybe somebody else should be doing that. Let me go through some of y'all's comments before I lose them. Stevie Mac said, apparently carpe omnia means seize the regular season and not the playoffs. I need them to carpe omnia free agency. Seize everything in free agency. That's what I want carpe omnia to mean now. Seize everything, every star player, every great player that you can, like, actually go all in free agency. Brother L said, I aspire to fail in such a way while still having the confidence of a person who feels like they're untouchable. I'm gonna try to go to work and destroy everything and ask for raise. Wish me luck. Well, you see, Brother L, apparently the key is to not destroy everything, right? You want to do a good enough job to where people have faith in you, and then just like find one important thing and at that fail miserably. And then just go into the meeting and be like, but look, I did every other thing so well. Like, just let this one thing slide. Truth only, I don't know about the situation between CeeDee Lamb's mom and Dak. I would like some insight. If you follow me on Twitter, feel free to DM me, or you can copy and paste here in the comments, whatever. I'll come back to it. That's news to me. But I said, CeeDee's mom and other player relatives really don't understand what they're doing. They messing up the money in the locker room. Yeah, you definitely don't want to do that. Yeah, I can't really comment further on it without knowing exactly what's going on. Thank you. I'll watch my phone, Brother L. Thank you. Kelvin said, I'm not going to say nothing, but Mike better stay back. Oh, goodness. Let's get through the last part of this.
Jeff Cole with Fox 4. Coach, after Green Bay, when questions of your job future came up, Dak Prescott was very strong in his support of you. What does that mean to you, and what does that bond look like heading into year five?
Well, I think it shows the, you know, the connection that we have and the belief in the direction we're going. You know, like I said earlier, I believe in Dak Prescott. You know, I think he's clearly the answer. He's part of the solution moving forward. And I think, you know, as difficult as this time is right now, you know, when we can, you know, work through this emotional, you know, period that we're in, you know, we'll continue to build off of, you know, what he brings to the table.
As far as the threshold you talk about of being close but not getting it done in the postseason, what do you think that process looks like of figuring out the missing piece?
What does the process look like, the missing piece? You know, I think it's like anything. You get back to the beginning and you train, you know, to win games, and you got to, you know, you don't even get an opportunity to answer these questions until you do your job in a regular season. So we got to take care of first things first. But it'll all be about, you know, building and developing, you know, the mental, the physical, and the emotional realms to make sure we're more than equipped and ready to win in all those arenas.
Jane.
Coach, you've obviously had your meeting with Jerry. You've had your meeting with us now. How would you describe your mindset and what's the next?
I think that right might really not be much else to this press conference other than what else I discussed. And if there is, I'll come back to it. But overall, I think what we saw, hold on, I'm gonna plug my light in and see if it'll come back on because I like having the blue light in the background. Nah, I think it overheated actually because it's still on. But I think overall what we're seeing from Mike McCarthy in this press conference is kind of representative of what Jerry Jones said in his statement, because I don't have it pulled up, but some of what Jerry Jones was saying was about like, oh, I believe in Mike McCarthy. You know, he's had one of the best regular season records among any of the other Cowboys coaches and yada, yada, yada. And like I said earlier, I'm like, yeah, you know, props to him for that, but it doesn't really mean much when you see teams with worse records advancing in the playoffs and the Cowboys are not. So I don't know what it is. Like, I just don't feel like we've been given the real, true, raw reasons for Mike McCarthy still having this job. Because even if it's that you believe in him as a coach, I feel like you've got to say something besides, oh, the regular season, yada, yada, yada. Or at least do something to address the concerns of the fans and the media. Because it's not even like they're questions to start drama. I feel like questions about the culture of the team right now and about their preparedness are legitimate questions. And I asked somebody this other day, I said, you know, when it comes to, you know, the toughness that everybody's expecting to see from this team and that people are disappointed that they didn't see, in what scenario do you imagine taking a bunch of 20-somethings, allowing them to make 6 and 7 figures, and then expecting them to be tough and disciplined just on their own? They're going to handle every hard part of their responsibilities and of their job on their own. It doesn't usually happen, you know? So unless he's building a culture of toughness, and I do believe that, you know, part of toughness is showing up. The attitude that people are pissed off that they saw from Aaron Jones, honestly, that's part of the attitude that, in my opinion, you need to have in order to be a top performer in the NFL, because it is such a physical and aggressive and violent sport. If that is how your opponents are showing up, that is how you need to show up. And so I am 100% in support of, you know, him considering their mental health and their overall well-being and their wellness. But I do think there's something to be said for kind of getting that killer side out of them, kind of getting that tough side out of them, kind of getting that side out of them that's ready to be physical. And we just didn't see that enough from them throughout the course of the season. So since it came up in the chat, I'm going to try to share with you guys this commentary from apparently CeeDee Lamb's mom. Let me see if I can pull this up and share my screen real quick. Send share screen. Okay, so apparently this account, Leah Ramirez, is CeeDee Lamb's mom, supposedly. And so in the first screenshot, someone named Charles Allen Johnson, well, she said, so this is Facebook. For those who don't recognize this particular format. But this is Facebook, and apparently she went to Facebook 5 days ago, so this would have been just after the loss, and said, Dak isn't it. And Charles Allen Johnson said, tell the youngin' to come to the home team. CJ would love to have him. She replied, shit, I wish he would. CJ is great. And then someone responded and said, not at all, cuz. And she responds and said, they need to get rid of his ass. As guys on that team that wants a ring, they work too hard. Someone else responds and says, I'm not going to repeat that out loud because I don't approve of that being said about Dak Prescott, but y'all can read it. And she responds and says, he don't want a ring. Now, I don't know where she got that insinuation from. I have no clue. But it's one of those situations similar to what we saw earlier this season where Trayvon Diggs was talking about the relationship between Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs. And people were like, well, why would Trayvon Diggs say that if there weren't some validity to it, right? Because they were like, that's his brother. Of course, he would know. They talk about things and they have conversations, you know, that, you know, his teammates and that other people in the media and that fans would not be privy to. And so I think that's what's going to happen with this. This is one of those things where people are going to be like, well, that's CD's mom. Why would she talk about his quarterback like that if he hadn't said something to make her believe that these were true statements? So I don't know. We'll see what happened. Like, that was posted 5 days ago, and I haven't heard anything about it till now. So we'll see if maybe now it's catching fire and the media will run with it. Not a good sign, though. Definitely not a good sign, regardless, no matter how you look at it. It's never a good sign when you see the mom of a player talking, or the parent of a player, or a sibling, or a spouse, or whatever, talking about a locker room leader in that way. All right, so in a nutshell, that's all I have about Mike McCarthy. Like I said, when it comes to the press conference, if you're looking for hope, if you're looking for confidence, if you're looking for something to inspire you to believe in the team, you're not going to get it from that press conference. He didn't have a lot of answers, but I do think that, like I said, he'll come up with the answers. It's just going to take more time than a lot of people are prepared to give him. Brother L says, CD needs to snatch his mom's phone away like on draft day. Oh, goodness. Maybe. oh, goodness. He is never going to live down that highlight. So I really do think if you were to have a similar press conference like next month, Mike McCarthy would have more answers. In his defense, he's got people on his staff right now that he doesn't even know if they're going to be there a week from now. 2 weeks from now. So I can't even really blame him for not putting a lot of effort into coming up with the answers, because it's like, you know, he's got to consider who's actually going to be around to implement a lot of the things that he talks about being solutions for the problems that he's being asked about, you know? So there definitely is room to give him some grace when it comes to how he responded to the answers and how he seems to be holding himself up in light of the loss. I just think, like I said, because of him knowing these media members, because of him knowing the team, you would think that he would have had some answers, but for whatever reason, he didn't. And I think it's going to take a lot of time and a lot of actual hard proof for him to win back the faith of the fan base, and for him, for the team in general, to win back the faith of the fan base. Luckily, next season, it looks like we don't really have to worry about what seems to be his Achilles heel, which is, like, you know, coaches from the Shanahan tree. It looks like we've got the 49ers, of course, but, you know, there's no Dolphins. There's no Dolphins. There's no Packers. there's no Rams in the regular season. Now, in order for him to get where he wants to go, he's obviously going to end up dealing with, you know, more, you know, better teams than what it looks like he's going to deal with during the regular season, assuming that a lot of these teams stay on their current trajectory. So we'll see what happens. Basically, in a nutshell, he's going to end up, if he does what he says he's going to do, and he gets the Cowboys to the postseason again, and he actually intends for them to make a Super Bowl run, he's going to have to come up with answers to these questions at some point. That's just point blank. He's not going to be able to avoid this stuff unless he has an epic failure and ends up losing his job for real. So on that note, if y'all have any other questions about the press conference or just want my opinion on anything, put it into the chat. But I do want to address the situation that happened with the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders. So if you haven't been paying attention to it in the news, there was a Dallas Cowboys cheerleader who went on TikTok, and she basically said that the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders dealt with some poor treatment, some inappropriate verbiage from Packers players. So I'm gonna pull up that video and let y'all watch it, and then we'll talk about it a little bit.
So I cheer for the Cowboys, and y'all, the Cowboys versus Packers game last Sunday, I have never experienced such disrespect from the other team's players to the cheerleaders in my 5 years as an NFL cheerleader. Like, we would literally be minding our own business, and the Packers just scored a touchdown. This is one example. They would come up to us, standing on the sidelines, minding your own business, and start yelling at us. Like, sometimes it was this close to our face. Also, I feel like that's unsportsmanlike conduct, and it's so crazy how they can do that. They can't do that to the Cowboys players or any other players, but they can do it to the cheerleaders, and nothing's gonna happen. Like, I understand the playoffs is a huge deal. Like, I truly get it. But that does not mean your humbleness and respect for women flies out the window. Like, what is going on? I can't. So I'm rooting for every team but them now that the Cowboys are out.
So this story has picked up national media attention. There's been a couple of articles written about it. So the reason why I actually decided to address it, and I'm explaining my reasoning because, you know, I saw people in the comments who were like, well, that was vague. She didn't really say anything. Two things about what she said stood out. One, she said in her 5 years of being a cheerleader, she had never felt so disrespected. She'd never heard anybody say anything like that to her. And I'm thinking, this is a Dallas Cowboys cheerleader, meaning not only does she go to games, but especially being with that crew for so long, she goes to a lot of other events. So to say that over the course of 5 years, she's never heard anybody talk to her like that, she's never been so disrespected, it must have been something pretty bad. And she also questioned these Packers players and their respect for women, which means clearly, these players, whoever they were, said something very disrespectful. So then there were people asking the questions like, well, why didn't she tell us what she said? I can't answer that, but there are a couple of reasons that I can think of that a person in her position might not repeat what was said to her. So one is that a lot of times for like cheerleaders, for dancing, for dancers and for, you know, women in those positions, there's a code of conduct that they have to adhere to in terms of what they put on social media. There are certain things that they cannot wear, certain events that they shouldn't be photographed or videoed at, and certain things that they can't say. So if what she was told was that disrespectful to where she felt the need to take to social media and speak out about it, it's very possible that she was told something that she can't repeat without fear of consequence. It's possible. There's also the possibility that she was just being cautious because of repercussions that could come up if she were to get specific. What I mean by that is the idea that if she were to be specific about who said what, and then that person decided to take legal action and accuse her of defamation, for example, and she doesn't have proof, or if she got pulled into an investigation and maybe she's not interested in what punishment this person faces, maybe she's just more interested in cheerleaders being protected, and she's saying, hey, this is a thing that happens, please protect us. And she's not really, you know, so worried about like punishing this person. Those could all be reasons that she decides not to be specific and not to go into detail to avoid those situations. Let me check y'all's comments real quick. Brother L said, she put herself at risk / on the line for even sharing it. I respect it. Facts. Even without being specific, there is definitely a risk there. Like, there are so many things that could happen, especially without her having a lot of supporting evidence in terms of getting it on video or other people who are willing to speak out and support what she's saying. It's one of those things where if somebody considers it a big enough problem, she could get kicked off the cheerleading squad, you know? Someone, I think it was a Sports Illustrated writer who actually was covering this, and they said something to the effect that sometimes when things like this happen with cheerleading squads, they won't say anything because there's a fear that rather than deal with having to put procedures in place to protect women, some teams would rather get rid of the cheerleading squad altogether just to not have to deal with the problems that come along with protecting women. Problems, quote unquote. In other words, it's an inconvenience, right? So there's a lot of reasons why she would keep it so brief and not be specific. But the first thing that I did, because she was like, you know, it just seems like that would be unsportsmanlike conduct. I looked in the rule book, and of course, there's nothing in the rules about treatment of cheerleaders or mascots. There's nothing. It talks about unsportsmanlike conduct, of course, in how you treat officials and how you treat other players, but there's nothing in the official rule book about cheerleaders. Now, one thing that I did find, though, was the code of conduct for NFL players. So the code of conduct is actually related to things that they do off the field. And it's one of the things that was written to account for punishments that might happen when a football player, for example, commits a crime. And so Here's some of what the personal conduct policy, so this isn't in the rule book in terms of penalties or anything that they can be fined for during the game. This is the personal conduct policy that governs how NFL players are supposed to carry themselves when they're not at a game, not at practice, so on and so forth. So this document says, it is a privilege to be part of the National Football League. Everyone who is part of the league must refrain from what they called conduct detrimental to the integrity of and public confidence in the NFL. This includes owners, coaches, players, other team employees, game officials, and employees of the league office. Also, NFL Films, NFL Network, or any other NFL business. Conduct by anyone in the league that is illegal, violent, dangerous, or irresponsible puts innocent victims at risk, damages the reputations of others in the game, and undercuts public respect and support for the NFL. We must endeavor at all times to be people of high character. We must show respect for others inside and outside our workplace, and we must conduct ourselves in ways that favorably reflect on ourselves, our teams, the communities we represent, and the NFL. And so basically the wording goes on to address behavior in general and basically say, hey, this doesn't have to just address illegal activities. This can also come down to just anything that's deemed to be inappropriate, disrespectful, or basically makes us look bad. So if we scroll forward a little bit, there's a section called Expectations and Standards of Conduct. And it says, it's not enough simply to avoid being found guilty of a crime in a court of law. We are all held to a higher standard and must conduct ourselves in a way that is responsible, promotes the values of the NFL, and is lawful. Players convicted of a crime are subject to a disposition of a criminal proceeding, blah, blah, blah. It talks about criminal activity, but then it lists certain things that are considered prohibited conduct. And so it says, actual or threatened physical violence against another person, including dating violence, domestic violence, child abuse, and other forms of family violence. And it also lists assault and or battery, including sexual assault or other sex offenses. And then it mentions violent or threatening behavior toward another employee. Also stalking, harassment, or other similar forms of intimidation. And I think there was one more. Oh, yeah. It lists in general disorderly conduct. So basically, and there's like 10 things listed on this list, but in so many words, it's like, hey, if you're being disrespectful, if you're saying anything that could be considered harassment, if you're doing anything that could be considered intimidating, those are all things that would violate their personal conduct policy. So according to this document, and there's a section labeled investigation, it says, whenever the league office becomes aware of a possible violation of policy, it will undertake an investigation, the timing and scoping of which will be based upon the particular circumstances of the matter. So this is something that's become popular via social media. It's also been covered by national media outlets. So I personally would consider this the NFL being made aware of a situation that could possibly violate this policy. It says, in conducting investigations, the league office will make reasonable efforts to accommodate requests for confidentiality from witnesses and others with information. In addition, the league will not tolerate any retaliation against anyone who, in good faith, reports a possible violation or provides truthful information during an investigation. Now, it says they won't tolerate retaliation, but there are some situations where it's hard to prove that actions against a person are retaliation. So even with that being in this document, I can still see anyone being a little bit nervous about saying anything about a situation like this, especially considering the fact that players are typically seen as having more power, and they definitely get paid way more and have more benefits and more value to the league than cheerleaders do. Cheerleaders, from what I understand, are considered very replaceable and in some situations disposable. So when it comes to discipline, in the discipline section, it says a player violates this policy when he has a disposition of a criminal proceeding or if the league's investigation demonstrates that he engaged in conduct prohibited by the policy. So everything that we talked about in terms of being disrespectful, being intimidating, harassment, depending on what happened, any of those things could apply, and those would be considered violations of this policy based on its own wording. It goes on to say, in cases in which a player is not charged with a crime or is charged but not convicted, he may still be found to have violated the policy if the credible evidence establishes that he engaged in prohibited conduct. And it basically goes on to say, ownership and club or league management have traditionally been held to a higher standard and will be subject to more significant discipline when violations of the personal conduct policy occur. Yada, yada, yada. It doesn't really get very specific about what the punishments will be. There is one section that says, following review of the record, including the position of the parties on appropriate disciplinary terms or other conditions, the disciplinary officer will promptly communicate the decision to the player regarding any disciplinary action to be taken. So, in other words, there's a section of the CBA, Article 46, where there are certain punishments that may or may not apply. There's a disciplinary officer that's got to look into it, investigate, and then basically, depending on how severe they determine the actions to be, they're going to go back and look at the CBA, and then they're going to let the player know. So, we may or may not hear about this for a while. The reason why I'm bringing attention to it is because, like I said, for her to say, I haven't seen or experienced anything this egregious in my 5 years as a cheerleader, to me, says that it was something serious. And when it comes to the treatment of women, it's like when you start letting things slide, things just get worse. I don't want this to become a trend where people think that they can just talk to cheerleaders any kind of way, that they can treat cheerleaders any kind of way, because then it goes from things that happen during a game to things that happen after a game. And if you start covering up speech, you can start covering up actions, you can start covering up things that go from being harmful, inconsiderate, intimidating, to covering up things that might be illegal. And we've already heard situations dealing with the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders specifically that are borderline illegal, that could be considered sexual assault, depending on how you define them. And we've heard about how the organization supposedly, reportedly, allegedly tried to cover those things up or protect the people who committed those actions. So even though people might be like, oh, well, you know, whatever they said, let it go. When it's a player, players have to be held to a certain standard. Like, it's bad enough that fans are going to say XYZ and do XYZ. But when it's a player, like, I agree with this particular cheerleader. When it's a player, you're in a position to hold them accountable, and you should. You're in a position to show women that you care about them, and you should. Especially young women who are already in a position where people are, you know, objectifying them anyway. You don't want to send the message that it's okay to go from objectification to harassment and assault. So I just hope whatever happened, they nip it in the bud. They send the message that regardless of how women are dressed or what you feel their position is, that there is a certain standard of conduct to, with which women should be treated. Let's see. Truth Only says, yep, exactly. And we heard about situations in Washington. Yeah, there was a situation in Washington as well. So there are several franchises, and it's probably happened in every franchise in the NFL, you know, on some level. I can't think of a single situation where women are in a position where they are selected because of their appearance, whether it's acting, dancing, cheerleading, whatever, and there's not somebody who just doesn't know how to act around attractive women and crosses that line and does something incredibly inappropriate. So I wouldn't be surprised if every cheerleader around the league has a similar story, but it sounds like whatever these Green Bay Packers players did went above and beyond what this cheerleader would consider typical. And for someone who's been a cheerleader for 5 years, to me, that in and of itself is enough for me to take it seriously. So, Brother Elton, remember the sideline situation with Philly security and Niners Greenlaw? This isn't that far off in terms of what the NFL can do with this situation. Facts. I feel like this is a really good point. Thanks for pointing that out. So that's all I got for y'all tonight. I'm going on an hour and a half, so I feel like I said enough. Plus, what time is it? Yeah, if Pick Six hasn't started yet, they're about to start. So if you're here watching me and you're looking for something to do after this, definitely head on over to Pick Six Sports. Nick's and the guys are either live or going live, and they always have a good show. And I'm sure they'll have a lot to say about this Mike McCarthy situation and about free agency. Brother Hell said 2 more hours. That would put this in the category of a part-time job, and I'm not quite there yet, but maybe one day. But thanks y'all for joining in. If you are watching, because I see that there are more people watching than people who have been participating in the comments. If you're watching and you have not already subscribed, please subscribe to the channel and turn those notifications on so you'll know the next time that I go live. And if you like the content, share it with a friend. And thanks in advance. So on that note, this has been another episode of Bitches Love Sports. I'm Bitch 2, and I'm out.